Michael, you're well known as an artist of comic books and cartoons and the like, and people remember Verity Aloha with fondness, amongst other things.
Batman Forever.
Batman Forever,
yeah.
What have you found of interest in current comic books?
There was a period there for many, many years where I found comic books like just a grey void of limbo. Nothing sparked, nothing was terribly interesting. And then a couple of years ago, I saw the work of Steve Pugh working on Hotwire, and I thought it was one of the most cinematic comics I'd ever seen. It literally looks like stills from a huge budget Hollywood movie, every single panel. It's quite the most extraordinary thing, his painting technique, everything about it. Now, much as I loved Hotwire, the characters were not quite what I really love. You know, the kind of writing style I like is a bit drier than that. So for my personal taste, even though I think Steve Pugh's amazing and he inspired me to get interested in comics again, and I will always read anything he brings out, you know, if I get the chance, and I love his work, but the one that absolutely blew me away, and I did not expect it at all, is from a company I thought could never be back again, could never be producing good work again, and that's Valiant. They came out gangbusters in the late 80s, I think it was, or early 90s or something, using characters that were based in Gold Key, like Dr. Solar and things like that. And I didn't particularly like the artists they were using at the time. John Dixon was one of the best artists they were using. They, for some reason, did use a couple of Australian teams. Glenn Lumsden was also involved at one stage. But by and large, the comic boom of the early 90s flooded the market. Everyone was like in this tooth and nail battle to dominate the shelf space of all the shops. And it was a bad strategy because it led to a major devaluation on the stock exchange, especially because of a particular problem with Marvel Comics at the time being run by the guy who was a pirate trader, one of those people that buys up companies and just dismantles them. Anyway, so Marvel had been bought up by this idiot who bought Revlon, and he destroyed the company, basically promising hyperbolic profit margins and people could jump in, make a huge killing and then leave. So, you know, it destroyed the industry, and not only did Marvel topple, but DC was down to one third of its size. I felt pushed out of the business, and no matter how many contacts I made in comics, I found that by the end of the project, that person was probably gone already. So I couldn't rely on comics, so I left. But my interest in comics remained in a small way. But I found very little of interest. You know, there wasn't much out there that was really engaging, really original, really well written. You know, the trust in the creative teams wasn't there by the companies. The companies were all there about their big franchises, their big star masthead titles. And then along came Valiant again, and I was just browsing, and I said, oh, not them again, not Valiant. And I looked at the cover of this one comic called Dr. Mirage, and it's a romance scene between a ghost and a young woman called Shan, who is actually the new Dr. Mirage. Her husband was the old Dr. Mirage, but he's been killed, saving the world from a giant behemoth of a Cthulhu kind of creature. Anyway, so she now is the new Dr. Mirage, and she's haunted by the death of her husband. The character is so well written by Jen Van Meter. She is the most amazing writer. She reminds me of Peter O'Donnell from Modesty Blaze. She's got that same dryness, that same thoroughness, that same naturalness. Everything about her is, to me, a positive. But it's a style that you either like or you don't like. I mean, I love it. I personally don't enjoy Neil Gaiman, but I love this woman's writing. I think she's so much better than Alan Moore or Neil Gaiman. She's the best writer in comics I've encountered in 20 years, I think, that I'm aware of. You know,
it's unusual because most people think of you as a comic book artist rather than a writer. Well, the fact that you're paying so much attention to writing.
I don't normally pay attention to the writers because normally the writers annoy me. Mm. But this writer does not annoy me. This writer does what I want a writer to do. which is amazing. I'm really in love with her writing. It's just such a joy to read something like this, something that is so character-driven, that really understands the environment she's in, that writes naturally about the place she's in, whether it's a supernatural world or whether it's the physical plane. She writes them with an equal dryness, with an equal eye for understatement and observation. So skillful and so confident to know her abilities so well that she doesn't need to go and sort of wow you or grab you by the lapels and shake you. She is just using the material to say, there you go, that's it. And you're going, wow, even though she's not trying to go and push any obvious buttons. She does it through just the quality of her writing and the quality of what she's presenting. The ideas are so strong and so well presented. She's just awesome. And to be teamed with Roberto de la Torre and the colourist David Barron. Roberto is an artist par excellence. His style reminds me of people like Paul Gillon and Jorge Zafino and Jean-Paul Leon. It's got that lovely draftsmanship skill, that slight rough edge, but underpinning it all is the most consummately brilliant drawing. And by brilliant drawing, I don't mean, you know, wow, look at this, it's so like spectacular image kind of bullshit. I mean, it is genuinely just the most understated, beautiful drawing that brings you in because of the masterful design of the page and just the expressiveness of the drawing. It's just, on every level, it combines that kind of what appears on the surface to be a very dry sort of photographic style, but is actually a very emotive, well-crafted style. You know, you have to see it to believe it. It is really something that just literally has my mind blown. I literally fizz when I look at it. It's that good. And to top it all off, you have a colourist who has brains. Not one of these idiots who uses too much Photoshop and just, you know, covers everything in this dark goo. You know, if you look at some amazing comics, like, for instance, Marvel's Ultimate series, the artwork by people like Finch is just extraordinarily brilliant. I mean, virtuosic. But the colouring is always done by somebody who feels that their favourite colour is dark purple or dark green or grey or brown. So you've got these pages of dark purple, dark grey, dark brown. You can't see a thing that's going on the damn page. This is meant to be good colouring. Marvel has wasted the best opportunities with the best artists and drowned their art in just this molasses kind of colouring. And Valiant has wisely chosen a colourist who understands that kind of 60s pop sensibility of flat colour planes, choosing a colour palette that works with the design of the art. It actually has that kind of informed graphic approach that we grew to understand from magazine publications in the late 50s. You know, the kind of use of white space integrated and weaving into the illustration to lead your eye into the illustrations. It reminds you of work by people like Kobe Whitmore and Al Parker and marvelous movie poster artists like Drew Struzan and Amsel and Peak. You know, really, really top range graphic presenters, people who really understood, not only had the masterful underpinning of great draftsmanship, but also had the most wonderful ability to really capture you and tell a story with the strength of the draftsmanship, telling the personality and the story and the action and the pose, all of that working so beautifully. And the world that Dr. Mirage inhabits is fascinating too, because it's so grittily real and physical, with characters from the Mafia in it, for instance, at the same time as having characters that are from the supernatural world. You've got Cthulhu kind of monsters, but they're woven into the story in such a natural way. You don't say, oh, that's like some sort of couldn't be real, that's spectacular crap. Everything is part of a coherent worldview, and that is something you don't get in comics very often, whether it's superheroes or other things. You know, you say, well, that couldn't possibly work. The way this is written, it is completely believable. It's so natural. It's a tribute to all three of them, the colorist, the artist, and the writer, to present something that is so engrossing, so modern, and yet so classic. Something that actually uses the strengths from all of the past decades of the medium, but being brought all to bear on something that feels, to my sensibilities, feels quite new and fresh.